I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. Colombia's Marxist rebel group, the FARC, is among the most notorious in the world. The guerrillas are financed by Colombia's cocaine trade, and they derive leverage by holding dozens of hostages. Those hostages include French-Colombian politician Ingrid Betancourt and three U.S. defense contractors. In March, FARC's leader, Manuel Marulanda, died. His successor was named just a couple of weeks ago. He goes by the name Alfonso Cano. Now, the inner workings of the FARC are pretty much a mystery, but reporter Stephen Dudley says it's clear how Cano became the group's chief.
He would have developed a strong relationship with the top leaders that would have been running the FARC for years. And then following the passing of the top leader, there would have been a vote, and it would have gone around to all the top leaders of the FARC, the so-called Secretariat of the FARC, and then there are another at least 28 who are part of what's called the Major State or the Board of Directors, if you will, of the FARC. So all of these people would have had to vote. What's said in public after the vote was that he was unanimously declared the leader of the FARC.
By the way, Alfonso Cano, this new leader of FARC, is this, I mean, how do they operate? Is this a paid position? Is this someone who is provided for in terms of housing? Does he have family? How does he operate?
He would operate as a person who wouldn't necessarily receive a known salary, but would have all his needs taken care of, everything from a house to an entire farm. There are reports that some rebel leaders have thousands and thousands of heads of cattle, and that the old leader of the FARC, Marulanda, had a number of pigs and cows himself, albeit not such a large farm as some of the other commanders. So he would be very well taken care of, but that wouldn't necessarily mean a salary. And it would be a very hard life. It's not easy. These guys take a very hard road. They live in the sticks, and the Colombian government now has reportedly 6,000 men chasing after Cano. So you can imagine that it's not an easy life.
And this is why one of the reasons that they're always on the run, moving from one day to the next throughout the jungle.
Absolutely. And even more so over the last few years, while the Colombian government, with United States support, has been waging really an all-out offensive. And so they've lost a lot of territory, and they've lost a lot of political support. So that's another thing that's going to fall into Cano's hands. How is it that he can rebuild some of the political support that perhaps the FARC enjoyed before? People perceive Cano as a person who would be more willing to negotiate, a person who sort of sees the larger world in a way that's distinct from the earlier leaders that the FARC had for so many years.
What does that mean, though, Stephen, if he sees the world differently?
It means he actually perceives of world events around him in a way that's distinct. He would be very aware of, for example, the statements coming out of Venezuela from President Hugo Chavez there, which talks about the fact that the FARC perhaps needs to think about negotiating. He would be very aware of the shifts in the old Soviet Union and the sort of shifts in the way in which people perceive rebel movements the world over, as opposed to the older guard, which was much more in line with the principle of a prolonged war, a war that could last for many more decades.
All right. One other question before we let you go. How has it served the FARC to hold Ingrid Betancourt, these three American contractors who were shot down a couple of years ago there, and many other captives as well? What's the reason?
In several ways, actually. In one way, they actually gain a certain amount of leverage so that they can negotiate certain things with the government. And in this case, they would like to negotiate a free territory or a open territory, non-militarized territory, where they can negotiate with the government. And in another way, they actually hope to be recognized as a state, so to say, or at least not as a criminal organization, but as an armed rebellion, so that they wouldn't face the stiff sentences that criminal organizations do, but rather might possibly get an amnesty that a rebel organization would hope to get.
Freelance reporter Stephen Dudley, author of the book Walking Ghosts, Murder and Guerrilla Politics in Colombia. Thanks a lot, Stephen.
Thank you.